Okay, Jaya, thank you very much for being here with me and agreeing to answer these questions and go into really deep detail about what I think is probably a pretty sensitive topic for a lot of guys. Well, I know it is because I'm a guy. So I definitely know that's the case. And I really appreciate you coming and talking about this topic. And what I want to sort of get into first is what we're going to be talking about and what they should expect to learn during this course here, this audio course that you're going to be featured on. And the first thing I want to say is that overall, we're going to be talking a lot about how to make her come in general. Now, I don't want to make it seem like that's the only thing in the whole world that matters when it comes to women, especially when it comes to sleeping with a woman, that it's not just about making her come and reaching the climax, but it's also the buildup and everything too. And I really want to talk a lot about that as well. But more than anything, I want to focus on just that, whatever it takes to get her to that point, because I think once a guy knows how to do that every time, he'll be able to enjoy sex a lot more with a woman. And so, first, what are some of the things that we're going to need to talk about in order to make that happen? And, we don't need to go into detail yet. We'll go into that in a bit, and then I'll ask you some more questions just about you and your experience.
Well, it's absolutely my pleasure to be here, and I'm super, super excited to talk about this topic because it is a passion of mine. Because I love having
Right. All right. No,
And
don't blame you.
and so, I think the first point is understanding for men that timing is a lot. Timing is everything. So that would be my first point. And then what do you do within the specific times? If you learn one technique, that one technique isn't going to work every single time. So what do you do all the other times? And learning touch skill. So, first beat would be timing. Second beat would be, okay, you got the timing, now the touch. So let's learn how to touch. Let's learn how to be with the body, her whole body. And then there's the elusive Zen, you can't chase it. You can't, how do you talk? I love to give guys a script so that, they don't feel like they're chasing an orgasm as opposed to really being with her. And the talk, so we've got timing, touch, talk, is a script that helps you uncover her technique for that day, for that month, for the whatever time you're in. And then adding a little oral to that. So
Okay. Having
I
that's
love
the
to end on the
O.
oral note.
Yes. That's perfect. Let me just make a little note here so I can remember to talk about all these things. This is going to be really, really powerful. So first off, I have, I was polyamorous for many years and have had great experiences with that. And I know that you're currently still practicing polyamory yourself. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on here, besides that you're very attractive and an amazing expert in what you do.
Why, thank you.
Of course, flattery will only get me
Thank
everywhere.
you.
But not just that, but also that, and I've met you and you sort of embody the presence of what it is that I've seen that's positive in polyamory. And you've been this extreme, very prolific expert, for what seems to be quite a while now. Based on how many products you have out and how much attention you get in general with what you do.
Yeah, I've been on a media blitz lately doing all these shows, like Good Morning America and The View. No, I didn't do The View. They called and I was so excited. Tyra Banks and Anderson Cooper, and I just did the doctors talking about female ejaculation. Isn't that awesome on daytime television?
I know, it's phenomenal that it's even anyone's even thinking about that. It's such a taboo topic for so long.
So I've been lucky. I've been really lucky, and I also have a huge mission to help people unleash their erotic ecstasy. So,
Right.
when you're on a mission, good things happen.
Right. Well, what kind of got you on this? Because I know that, I mean, I don't know how it was for you if you were like just born knowing what you wanted to do, but it took me a while to figure this out about what I wanted to do. So how'd you kind of step into this in the first place?
I had a teacher once say that some people are just brought in erotically gifted. I
Yeah.
really liked that because I felt like, I was one of those people that just came in fascinated with the erotic. And of course, shamed early on in my life for it. And I have spent a lot of time overcoming that shame and working with it and really embracing the erotic creature that I am. So I think that that was a big piece, was just I just came in that way, and then have I was one of those strange people. I read this book called Dilemmas of Desire, where they had all these interviews with teenage girls and how sex just sort of happened for them. Like they had to be drunk or, you know, somebody forced them into something. And for me, I was one of the very rare people. I think out of all the girls they interviewed, there were two girls who actually took their sexuality in their own hands. And I was one of them. I got every book I could find. I loved romance novels. I actually asked my mom to take me to the gynecologist so that I could be shown my parts downstairs. And when I went to the gynecologist and said, you know, I want to see everything, he handed me a cartoon. And I was so angry because I really wanted to see what was going on down there. So it was a natural curiosity and just a huge passion. And then when I started telling all my friends, you know, everything I was finding out. And when I went to college, it was like I found myself educating people about sex more than actually like doing what I was at school to do. So it just became a natural progression of becoming a sexologist.
Was there a point in your life that you can remember where you sort of switched over to wanting to know everything about this? Or was there like a, you know, I don't know how it is, how it was for you, but for me, I had like a downward spiral that I remember because I was older when this hit me, or old enough to recognize it. Was there anything that, you know, you don't have to go without going into too much of the, you know, dirty details, obviously, if anything happened, but you know, is there anything that sort of snapped you into this in the first place that where you're like, you know, I don't want to be like everybody else, or I want to know everything there is to know, or, you know,
that kind of thing. I think one of the big things was my own healing. Like I was having difficulty feeling. I was actually numb. So when somebody would touch my genitals, it just felt like nothing, or sometimes it would feel like pain. And so for me, it was a personal everything. Like everything that I'm teaching is comes out of some challenge that I've had. And so at that point in my life, I was like, I need to learn how to feel. I need to get in touch with my physical aspects of my body. And so I just started, you know, just going out and looking at healing, like getting massage on my genitals, or, you know, like I just would not settle for not being an absolutely ecstatic, orgasmic human being. And now I'm happy to say with the slightest touch, I can have, you know, hundreds of orgasms in a session. So
dangle that over everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the gift that you're giving to people too, is that same kind of experience.
Yes. You know? Yes. If I did it, then other people can do it too.
Right. And you had a harder time. And I know I've known probably a couple girls that were, I would guess, that kind of had the same kind of numbness is what I would guess based on their reactions, you know? But it hasn't been too many that have had to that extreme, you know, that have actually come out of it. Most are just so ashamed of it, I think, that they just don't focus on it. So I know that probably everyone listening is going to be like, okay, shut up, Josh, and get into the content. So so I definitely want to hear these teachings that you have. So first, the first thing I want to get into is you're talking about timing as your first kind of the three T's, right? Timing, touch, talk, and oral are the three T's and then an O. So starting out with timing, my first question is, what is the biggest mistake that you see guys making, specifically guys making, you know, heterosexual guys, with timing that ruins it the most? Like if you had literally, you can only say one statement to a guy and you can fix the biggest problem that you could assume that he has, what would it be?
They don't understand timing. So they approach at the inappropriate times. Inappropriate times would be, I don't know, she's really super, super, super had like I got hit by a bus and the lawyer, he said, let's go get a hotel room. That is not a good time. And then understanding that she goes through biochemical changes throughout the month. So the best time, and this is a lot of guys don't know that, but the best time when your hormones and her hormones and everything is like all in alignment is when she's ovulating about the 15th day of her cycle. And then the worst time is going to be like right before she has her period. So, and there's certain things you want to do and not do during those times. So like, for example, deep penetration right before she's about to have her period is not a good idea because it's most likely going to hurt. But during ovulation on like the 15th day of her cycle, perfect. She's going to beg for it. She's going to want that.
Okay. So there's two sorts of timings here then. There's one set that is based on sort of her cycle, you know, as far as what kind of positions you go into, what kind of focus you have with her in the bedroom. And the other is timing as far as initiation in the first place.
Yes. And then there's overall timing in the life. So right. I'd say there's three. There's the emotional timing. Mm-hmm. There's the chemical timing of her monthly cycles. And then there's a lifetime. So, you know, like a woman just had a baby. That's probably not a good time to approach her for for certain things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like touching and stroking would be great.
Okay.
You know, menopause, everything changes during menopause. So mm-hmm. we have all these different things in timing to look at. And when men take into consideration and then know what kind of techniques, so we've got timing and then we've got what techniques fit within those certain times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we had to look at, and there's one in particular that I can see out of all these the three aspects of timing, the emotional, chemical, and lifetime mm-hmm. timing. Emotional is the most malleable. I mean, I believe that we could probably change that or do something about it. Chemical, we just need to pay attention to, and lifetime, we need to be able to recognize.
Yes.
You know? But emotional is kind of more in our control. So I'd like to talk about that for just a little bit and see if there's some tips that you have or techniques specifically, maybe not so much techniques. I mean, that would be good, but and of course we want those, but I want to focus a lot more on how to recognize, a good emotional state and how to create it if it's not there in the beginning.
Right. So good emotional states, when she's outgoing, when she says like, let's go out, let's go do something. Mm-hmm. When she's really social, higher energy, mm-hmm. She's had a great day. There's something to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes when she's had a not so great day, that this is where it gets confusing, because sometimes like we need that sense of connection. So she can have really great orgasms when she's been crying, because mm-hmm. there's an opening, there's a vulnerability, mm-hmm. but it's a certain amount of, you don't want to just like jump into sex. There's a certain amount of touching you want to do beforehand and sort of checking in and listening. Now I'd say a big don't is fixing. Like if she has had a bad day and it's like, don't try to like jump in the sack right away. But what you want to do is listen. And then don't even try to fix. You could ask her, like, do you want to hear some advice or no? But the fixing thing can be a big turnoff mm-hmm. and actually kind of make us sizzle. So like in a not good way. So I'd say that's like the biggest thing. And then if she's in a bad mood and you want to turn it around, you know, I'm a big like, let's change. If I'm in a bad mood, like I want it to be changed. Mm-hmm. And so some of the ways are breath is a huge one. If you can get her to breathe with you, I have a crazy technique that I do with couples when they're fighting. Mm-hmm. It's called monkey breath. I actually learned it from a woman who does birthing in the Black Sea in Russia. And it's one of the things to help women sort of change their state when they're in labor from mm-hmm. being in the frontal part of their brain to being in the reptilian part. And reptilian part, as we all know, is where orgasm lives. Mm-hmm. So we want to get into that part of the brain when it comes to pleasure, and then just it helps us change our state completely. So the breath is a really rapidly in and out of the mouth and the nose. It's completely chaotic. So it's like, if you can hear that. Yeah. So it can kind of sound like a monkey.
Sounds like monkey breath, yeah. I was like, it smells bad or something.
And then the other idea is to mash up your face, because then the brain doesn't know what emotion. Yeah, like our face, when we smile, it sends certain chemicals to the brain. Or when we frown, it sends certain chemicals to the brain. Mm-hmm. So the brain all of a sudden doesn't know what emotion to be in. So it just kind of short circuits and goes straight into that primal aspect of the brain. So you're mashing your facial muscles up. You can open and close your eyes, you open and close your mouth, and you do this breathing. It's totally crazy, but it works. I have so many clients who are like, oh my God, it worked. It totally worked. So, it's crazy, but it's one of the things that really can change her state. If she's emotionally like in a bad mood, you can just, you know, if she knows it, I just go monkey breath, and then everybody in the house does monkey breath, and then we're all in a better mood. So,
okay. So that's sort of taking someone from a sort of an emotionally down state, to being more of a positive, like positive sort of ready to let go state.
Yes.
You want to do that if it's a negative state that she's in, that's not crying, right? So if she's not just releasing, if she's actually, I guess that it would be more like tense or pressure
She's tense. She's stressed. Stress is an enemy to orgasm. Let me tell you, it cannot. The receptors can't even be in the same space. Mm-hmm. So you need to get her relaxed as much as possible. And if she's just pissed, I mean, monkey breath's really good. You know, when somebody's really in like a, they're angry or upset about really, really upset about something, it can really change it. Especially if you move your body around and, you know, like get moving. That's sometimes hard to get somebody to do, but you know, that and light touch, you know, and then we go to the second one, which is touch. But touch is always a changer for me.
Okay. So as far as timing goes, then we've got, you know, there are two, basically there's one major enemy. If she's in a bad mood, that's not necessarily a bad thing. If she's had a bad day or whatever, right. It's really about how she responds to that. She's, if she's in a stressed out or tense situation or mindset, you've got to get her out of that. One way to do that is like what you're saying, monkey breath is a phenomenal. If a guy's scared to do that, you know, let's say that he is, you know, let's say that it's not a girl he's dating exclusively or he's been dating for a while or that he's really involved with, like maybe he just started meeting her, you know, actually that would be the best time to do it because then she'd be comfortable with it later on. But if you're a little scared to do that, what might work instead than you're saying is just kind of like making sure she gets her body moving in some kind of way, something that isn't going to, that her brain isn't really going to recognize, right? Something that's new and different. Mm-hmm. You may ask her, for example, playing thumb war could be something that would be simple enough, right?
Yep, that's a great idea.
You know, but it's not. They're going to have some kind of an association with thumb war, right? But it won't be. It won't be as readily available to them. They'll have to dig around to find it, you know. So anything like that, just to kind of get her out of that mood, that sort of like tense state, and get her to relax. Also, if I've noticed this, and you probably teach this as well, if as a man, if I am breathing deeply and slowly as I'm around my girlfriend, if she's in a stressed state, she lets go.
Yep.
So this is also really important because, you know, if you're in control of yourself as a man, usually a woman will mirror you and will become that in control person too. So sometimes you don't have to do anything. You can just be calm and breathe very deeply and slowly. Also, if you breathe in a way that she can kind of hear, like you're saying, the monkey breath kind of thing, you can hear it and it's easy to know you're doing it right, you know? If you breathe just like very deeply like that, in a way that she can hear it, even if you're just, you know, talking to her and it's in normal conversation, if you have that deep breath, I know that transfers over too, just from the psychology I've studied. So
yep, absolutely true.
So that gets her out of the tense state. If she's not in that tense state, then she pretty much is going to be emotionally ready, as long as she's not tense, if she's relaxed. So we have that down. So timing is something you control a little bit, but keep in mind the chemical thing we do want to know. That's really important to me because now I'm in a relationship where I see her I live with her. I see her every single day. You know, it's not like we're distant in any kind of way. So I can know this stuff, you know? Yeah.
And it's crazy. I mean, people are so unaware of the chemical stuff, but like there's a chemical that happens like right before she has her period that actually makes you less attracted to her. You know, it's like it's pheromone she puts off, and then her genitals become more numb and less sensitive. I mean, so these things are crazy what's happening in our bodies on a monthly basis.
Yeah, we don't have that. We don't have that same kind of association as guys. So,
yeah.
Okay, so that's and then lifetime, I think that we can kind of, you know, look at, that's pretty easy to see, generally speaking. Unless it's something that's like, you know, she just had a baby. Sometimes you can't tell that, you know. When you talk to a woman, you know, if I were to go out and just like talk to random people, sometimes I wouldn't be able to tell if someone just had a baby, just by looking at her. But besides that, I mean, I think that those are kind of things that are out of control a little bit. And the most important one that we can actually control is emotion. So moving beyond that, though, now we have the emotional, the timing thing down. That was number one. And again, I'm going to ask you kind of the same question about touch, which you said is, you know, your second T, another really, really big important component to this. To making her come in general. Once you have the timing down and you got the setup right, then you move on to touch. And again, if you had to sort of correct the biggest mistake, if you could just kind of download one concept into every guy's mind in the whole world about touch, what would it be?
Too fast.
Too fast. Okay.
If I was going to get, you know, this is the biggest complaint I hear from women.
Okay.
He's too fast. And even when we say slow down, it's like it barely slows down. And then you guys speed back up again, like as soon as you get aroused.
You guys. I like how you're lumping me in. It's just like every single guy. You guys.
I coach so many men around this. And it's just amazing, you know, how like slow to a man is just like a whole other world than what slow means to us. And women, you know, we have a hard time communicating what slow means. Because for a lot of time we don't really know what it is that we want.
Right.
And so it's really difficult when we say slow, we expect you to just go slower. But slow in our mind into our body is something completely different. And then it's hard to articulate what that is. So when I say slow, I mean like almost imperceptible movement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean like your arm is cramping up because you're going so slow.
Right, okay.
You know, like really, really, really slow and delicious.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say that this is something that I've heard kind of paralleled through a few other experts that I know that are sex experts.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right whenever you say that it's like painfully slow and it's like unrealistically slow. And
to your mind, to the male mind.
Right. And it is because and I think that makes complete sense because we are, as animals, you know, the males in our species are all about getting it done, you know? And the thing that we have to fight, I think, is that impulse to just, we want to reach orgasm as soon as possible. We want to, you know, pound you into submission and you know, that kind of thing. And I really think there's nothing necessarily.
And there's a time for it. Yeah.
That. Exactly.
When she's ovulating.
Right. Perfect. So then you know exactly. So this is cool. There should be like a calendar, that we can use.
I know some couples who do keep that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my girlfriend keeps a calendar of her cycle as well. So I'm just going to have her share it with me or something.
Yep.
Add my own notes to it. I'll add a hammer to the days. A little picture of a hammer. because there's a time and place for that for sure. Let's say that, you got the timing right. She's in that emotional, like vulnerable state and she's feeling comfortable and you start to get intimate. I'm guessing there's kind of a ramp up time as far as speed goes and as far as intensity and a whole bunch of other things goes over time. Let's say that someone was going to, you're sitting down, you're basically going to have sex for 45 minutes, let's say.
Uh-huh.
Right? Which I think is kind of long for most people.
Mm-hmm.
But still would be, I think that'd be a pretty good spot for everybody to get to with sex.
Yes,
that their average, is about 45 minutes.
It takes about 40 to 45 minutes for a woman actually to get fully aroused.
Oh,
so
great.
You should spend 40 to 45 minutes pleasuring outside before you even go inside.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we have, as we're stepping up into that spot, tell me a little bit about what you believe would be the perfect sequence of touch for you.
Well, I created something called the pleasure wave. And the pleasure wave follows different states of arousal and brings her on a journey as opposed to just bringing her up to one orgasm and then back down.
Mm-hmm.
It's because she could have many, many climaxes within 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts off with what I call stillness. And so stillness is the first step of the pleasure wave. And a lot of men underestimate the power of stillness. And I mean, stillness, you can write down a bunch of different techniques that could go under stillness. Stillness could be you're there breathing with her, nice, slow, deep breaths while you look in her eyes. Stillness could be you have one hand on her genitals, cupping her, one hand on her heart. Stillness could be holding her, like in a spoon position while you breathe together. There's all kinds of different things you can do for stillness. And I mean stillness, like don't be wandering your hands all over the place. Just be still. It creates safety and trust, and out of the safety and trust is where powerful, powerful deep orgasms happen. It helps her get into a different part of her nervous system where she has deeper, more extended, expanded orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the stillness, you begin light arousal. Light arousal, it's that slow, hovering, amazing touch all over her erogenous areas. It's like body arousal, not going straight to the genitals, but full body arousal where you're touching lightly the nape of her neck or around her nipples or the inner inner thigh, behind the knee. Oh my God, behind the knee, you know, like just, I can have orgasms behind my knees from little, like little flicks of the tongue and fingertips at the back of my knee. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And then you go, you know, you could go back into stillness and then build again. The next level would be another set of arousal, arousal level two, where you're going into maybe teasing around her genitals, focusing a little bit more on the nipples, starting to get into her lips and kissing. And the touch here, like I'll give you a technique. So a specific technique would be like clitoral rolling, where you take the shaft of the clitoris between your thumb and your forefinger and you begin just rolling it between your fingers. Mm-hmm. So something just light like that. Another thing, like I love having my labia stretch. So you could take and pinch her labia between your thumb and your forefinger and literally stretch them. And most men are like, their jaws drop when I do this because I could have my labia stretch like pulled really hard. Mm-hmm. So it's that level of like knowing when, you know, how to, what she likes. And we'll get to that when we talk about the talk part, because you can communicate through all this. Mm-hmm. And then dropping it down. Maybe you go back to her body for a little bit, touching lightly, you know, blowing, kissing on her erogenous areas. And then moving up to higher arousal. So this is maybe, you know, after 30, 40 minutes, you go into higher arousal, which is the peak, which is internal. So you go to G-spot, touch with your fingers. One of the techniques I love to do is an A-spot, G-spot, and then a clitoral technique. So you have one finger deep inside her vagina, your middle finger, one finger more shallow on the G-spot area. This is on the roof of her vagina. And then your thumb on her clitoris. And you start moving all your fingers. You move the internally in a come hither. And guys, a lot of times you do this touch incorrectly. It's not in and out. It's not friction over. So if you take your finger and rub it on the back of your hand, that's friction over. But if you take and you press your finger into the skin on the back of your hand and then move the skin towards you, that's a true come hither. I call it more of an anchor in a pool. You're anchoring into the tissue and then you're pulling it forward towards you. That would be the way to do it. So you're anchoring into the roof of her vaginal tissue and you're pulling it towards you. Mm-hmm. And then your thumb is on clitoris duty.
Is your thumb just are all three of these moving the same motion at the same time?
So this is more advanced. Okay. If you can do it, I have gotten myself to that point because I do a lot of these techniques. Mm-hmm. You can move your thumb rapidly back and forth while your fingers are moving towards you slowly in a deep come hither.
Goodness.
So with your thumb,
it's like trying to pat my head and rub my stomach at the same time.
It's even worse because it's on the same hand. One thing that can help is if you take the thumb of that hand out and you use the forefinger of your opposite hand. Mm-hmm. So one hand is going fast and back and forth while your other hand is going slow. I have guys practice this all the time. Like, okay, just hold your arms up in the air and practice this. Mm-hmm. And I also recommend getting fleshlights. You can practice on a fleshlight, which is a masturbation sleeve. And then that way you start getting the dexterity in your fingers to start doing some of these things and doing them for longer amounts of time. So you want to build stamina in your fingers, strength in your fingers, and the dexterity to be able to, you know, go slow and deep with one hand and light and fast with the other.
Okay. So here's, I think something that I'm guessing a lot of people would have a question about. I definitely do. It seems like then you're kind of going in this, you know, three steps forward, two steps back kind of process as we go through this. I mean, starting with stillness, going up to light arousal, back to stillness a little bit, and then back to light arousal, then to arousal level two, that you're trying, like the teasing,
where
every guy typically starts, which is at arousal level two, right? Skipping the timing and skipping the stillness and light arousal, which then I think is not enough to get her into place. I think a lot of guys who start there, including myself in the past, will probably have seen faked orgasms from this process.
Yes, about 70% of women actually fake orgasms. It's very high.
And I think that a lot of it has to do with the skipping of the first few steps here during this process. So then you get into that arousal level two and then step back to light arousal and then back to arousal level two. Maybe do that a couple times until maybe it gets really heavy and the breathing is out of control for her. Or what is the what is it that we're looking for as far as the sign?
Arousal, you want to look for dilation of the sphincter muscles. Mm-hmm. So that's like a technical way to say mm-hmm. her pupils will get bigger. Uh-huh. Her vaginal muscles will open. Her mm-hmm. mouth will start opening more. Uh-huh. All of the sphincters are connected in the body. There's something called sphincter law. So when she starts getting aroused, they all start opening. So they mm-hmm. dilate.
I had no idea that that was true.
I know, isn't that crazy? So it's actually, I learned that when I was birthing. So that when they want your mouth and your jaw relaxed and your eyes, you know, like dark light helps the pupils to dilate. So here's a key, guys. Candlelight, you know, is actually helps make your woman more sexually aroused and more sexually available. Women used to put a herb called belladonna in their eyes to make them look that way because mm-hmm. it made them more attractive to men. Don't do that. It's poison. But
okay. Keep that in mind. But and like it might make you have loose bowels.
Yes. low light and you know, all those things. So
all the things that are kind of like traditionally romantic sounding, it seems like.
They work. There's science behind them. Oh, right. I was talking about the sphincters, the redness. So you'll notice areas that have erectile tissue. Sometimes the chest even gets red, flushed. The lips will fall. The nostrils will flare. You know, her vulva, a really truly aroused vulva, and most people have never seen this because you don't see it in pornography, they can swell up the size of a football. I have seen – I mean, it looks like there's a football downstairs. Mm-hmm. Really red, even purple for some women, and it just swollen, and throbbing. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that might scare some guys, I guess, if they actually saw that. But if you can get to that point, obviously, I think that
that's
you should.
That's a good sign. It's a good sign.
Yeah, exactly. Don't take her to the hospital. Or definitely don't scream. Yeah. Unless she's into that, I guess. And then you can scream.
But it also means that her erectile network, which is 360 degrees around, mm-hmm. is so swollen that her vaginal canal is full of erectile tissue, which means tighter, snugger fit, and more pleasure for you too. So, you know, size does not really matter. Arousal does.
Okay. Well, that's great, actually. Well, I'm going to have to sell this as a separate product altogether, actually. but that's amazing. Okay. So we're going through this process here where it's like, okay, stillness, light arousal, like I was saying, kind of going back and forth. And you sort of, you know, I think by the time you get to arousal level 2, if she's not correct me if I'm wrong here, but if she's not starting to show signs of obvious physical arousal, meaning, mm-hmm. you know, like you're saying, dilation of every sphincter, basically, mm-hmm. All of her openings, body openings, mm-hmm. Mouth, eyes, genitalia in general, I guess. And then redness. I see a lot of redness around the chest often, like mm-hmm. just in the neck area. Yep. And that kind of thing as well. So when we start to see that, is that an indication that it's basically a green light to finally go into arousal level 2, or is that a green light to move up into higher arousal?
Yeah, higher arousal, you can probably go into penetration. I mean, when you start seeing like genitals are swollen, mm-hmm. Another rule of thumb on touch with wet parts, like her vaginal tissue is mucous membrane once you get inside the outer labia, mm-hmm. which means touch it wet. This is another big mistake guys make, is they touch it dry and ouch. It's like touching your eyeball with a dry finger. Mm-hmm. So don't, because it's the same kind of membrane. It's mm-hmm. that it's a wet membrane. So you want to touch it wet. So, you know, wetness is not always an indicator of arousal. Mm-hmm. I think that's a mistake too, is that, oh gosh, she was so wet. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Mm-hmm. I can be wet just walking around during the day and I can be totally turned on and dry. So, mm-hmm. you know, again, it's a timing, chemistry, anything could change the wetness, but use lubricant. You know, that's a great rule of thumb. Use lubricant. And then, you know, once you see those signs, especially in the vaginal tissue where it's swollen, it's red, she's got some lubrication going on, then it's probably a good time. And even if you check in with women and they're like, oh yeah. I mean, you want her to be begging you.
Right.
Begging you for penetration, not like, oh, I'm not really. Most women are not ready for penetration by the time a guy penetrates them. That's a big mistake, is guys penetrate way too early mm-hmm. before she's fully aroused. And then it doesn't feel as good. And the parts are also harder to find. It's harder to find the G-spot. It doesn't feel as good. You mm-hmm. want it to feel optimal. And so that means touching her when she's ready. The timing.
Right. Okay. So let me just sort of recap on this. I know we're spending a lot of time on this, but it's awesome. So I have no problems talking about it more. So starting out kind of with, you know, let's say we got past the timing thing and she's in that relaxed state, right? Mm-hmm. Then we get to this sort of stillness where it's just, no motion, pretty much just breathing and that comfort of like holding her in whatever position it is that you do it in. It could be a thousand different positions you do that in, or different ways that you do it as well. I think that's pretty easy. We can let people freestyle that. That's not really a big deal. After that, go into light arousal. Again, this is something that a lot of guys push right through. Go straight to the second level, which is like, we want to touch, we want to feel that, we want to just, feel, all of her tits, all over her ass. So we just want
and
to,
I
like,
don't blame you. They're great parts.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, who doesn't want to go down there?
Right, exactly. So I think that sort of during that process, I think if you add in an extra step for most guys, for me too as well, and just in general, if I added an extra step between the stillness point, right, which I think most people, including myself, try to skip past that too if possible. But between the stillness points, so start being still and then really take your time. I mean, like, really, like, it should feel like you're doing it three times longer than you need to, most likely, if you're a guy. So that process, of course, it will take three times longer to get to penetration, of course, for a guy. But it's worth it in this case. We're talking about giving her the best orgasm she's ever had and making her come over and over and over again. Yep. And it will be worth it to you just to put in this little bit extra time. I know that a lot of guys feel, this is just feedback I've gotten in general, but just kind of feel like as they're doing all this, they're more servicing someone and less about, it's less about them experiencing it. So what kind of tips do you have as guys go through this process, that will allow them to sort of get into, maybe it's just permission. I don't really know what the best advice would be, but what would allow them to really just enjoy this process?
Presence, being really present with her, making sure that you're paying attention to all her gasps and like just her writhing around in pleasure. I mean, for a lot of guys I work with, it's like when they start pleasuring a woman like this, they get a lot of pleasure out of it. So I give you permission to enjoy her pleasure and to know, that there's a big difference between receiving and giving and being an active giver versus a passive giver. And that's a whole other program, but, but just knowing that you can derive pleasure from this, and then she's going to be wanting more sex out of this. She's going to be begging for your penis inside of her, either her vagina or her mouth after this. Right. It changes a woman. I mean, like it changes. I've seen this in my practice over and over again. It changes a woman from like, yeah, sex to like, oh my God, I can't wait to have sex with you.
Right.
Okay. And I don't know if that's not a benefit,
Yeah, exactly. We shouldn't need to spell that out.
Yeah.
But okay. So just to go over it again, stillness. Okay. First off, timing and that calm state, then stillness, light arousal, arousal level two, and then higher arousal, right? In that order. And really kind of, that's the order that she'll go through, but you're going to take her through to a step, then back one, and then forward again, and then the next, and then back one, and kind of like that.
So when you get to that really high arousal, you could leave her there for a while. You can bring her back down and then bring her back up. So you can start playing in the wave. It's like surfing. You're surfing her pleasure and deriving a lot of pleasure out of that yourself. So there's that fine art to, I'm going to bring her back down to stillness and I'm going to build all over again. Or maybe I'll just bring her back down to body arousal and I'm going to spread all of the pleasure she has in her genitals all over her whole body. That's where full body orgasm can come in. So there's all kinds of, it's like flying a kite too. That's another analogy I like to use, is like you take time to get the kite up in the air. And then you get it up there soaring. You can bring it down a little. You can let it really fly. And then you don't want to just like drop it. You don't want to just cut the string. You've got to also reel her back in. So you want to bring her down. You don't want to just like, you've got your fingers inside and you're going to town and she has an orgasm and then you just pull out and you're like, okay, I'm going to go make breakfast.
Don't do that. Okay.
I also have clients who do that. I mean, it's like, okay, you just left me like hanging out there.
Right.
There's just as much pleasure in the come down, or maybe it's slow lovemaking and you bring her back into stillness.
Right. Okay.
That's an exquisite journey.
Okay.
So sometimes I have orgasms on the way down too.
That's amazing. I think we need to, I don't know what it is that you learn how to do, but everyone needs to know this. It'll make our job a lot easier.
It will make the world a happier place, I think.
I think so, too. Probably a lighter place, too, because I'm imagining you're burning some calories during this process.
Yes.
looking at this now, we've gone through that process, and you get to the higher arousal stage. Is there anything that any sort of tips you might have to help push a woman over the edge? You know, let's say she's really into it and you've gone through the entire process. She's right there. She's getting more, it's getting, you know, better and better. And she seems to plateau out at this point, but never really reach orgasm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there something, maybe it is going straight into the next section, which is talking, you know, mm-hmm. Is there anything that we can do as men that we can remember that's, relatively simple to do? That will help guide her along to the next step.
That's a really great question. Sometimes you just need to ground her a little. And by grounding, I grab her hip bones, push down on her hip bones, push down on a shoulder. It just sort of ground, like sometimes with the clitoris, especially when you're doing a lot of clitoral stimulation, the body starts feeling ungrounded and then it's like you're elusively trying to reach this orgasm. Mm-hmm. But with just a little grounding, like you grab her leg or you grab a hip bone, reach down to kiss her, include another area of the erogenous zones, like those, touch somewhere else mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. Don't stop what you're doing, but get your other hand involved where you're touching somewhere else, or get your penis involved where all of a sudden you're teasing her or mm-hmm. something. Right. And then the talk piece. So do you want me to go ahead and go into that? Because that's a great segue.
Sure.
So here's the script, guys. It's very simple. It's basically three options. Mm-hmm. So the option is, let's say you're on her clitoris and you're moving back and forth on her clitoris. First option is faster, slower. But okay. I don't want you to just ask faster, slower. Because the big mistake guys make with talk is they say, does this feel good? A majority of women are going to say yes, even if it doesn't feel good, because we don't want you to feel bad. So first option, faster, slower. But don't just ask faster, slower. I want you to go fast. This is fast. You're going fast.
Right.
You're going fast. Now I want you to go slow. This is slow. Which one do you like better? The reason why I don't want you to just ask faster, slower, she doesn't know. Right. She doesn't know if she likes faster or slower. She doesn't even know what that feels like. So you've got to give her the felt experience of it mm-hmm. and then give her the option. Which one did you like better? And a lot of times, it'll be like, oh, slower, or, oh, I like both of them better, or keep trying it back and forth and see, it might take mm-hmm. her a little bit till she decides. So let's say she says slower. Okay, we're on her clitoris. You're moving back and forth. She said slower. All right, now the next option is deeper or lighter. Okay, so now you're going to go lighter. And now you're going to go deeper. You're going deeper. And she says, oh, lighter, 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 lighter was better. Okay, so now we're going slow and light. Mm-hmm. Next question, higher or lower? Am I in the right spot?
Okay.
So now you're going to move a little higher and keep moving down lower. And she's going to tell you where the sweet spot is. Oh, there it is. There's the little sweet spot. Now you've got the sweet spot. You've got the right degree of pressure and you've got the right speed. Keep doing that.
Okay. All right.
Keep doing that. And then check in with her. Okay. I noticed maybe you plateaued out a little bit. Like she's not breathing as heavy or something's changed. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you want me to change, where I'm at? Start with that, asking, mm-hmm. And then that way you find her technique for that given day. Because I can tell you roll her clitoris with a deep pressure slowly. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That might work on Monday. And then all of a sudden something changes biochemically. And this ties back into timing. And it doesn't feel so great, or it's annoying as hell. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, direct clitoral stimulation is annoying, So you've got to use this little script to uncover exactly what it is. It's the talk piece to mm-hmm. uncover exactly what it is that she wants on that given day, in that given moment. And, I find that this works near perfect almost every time.
Okay, so on the I think the faster, slower thing's pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. The deeper and lighter or versus lighter is pretty self-explanatory too. I mean, if it's external, it's not inside, if it's not inside of her vagina in the first place or her mm-hmm. mouth or any orifice, then you're not going to be probably deeper or lighter. It might be harder or softer maybe,
uh-huh.
That you might use instead.
Or you can say more pressure or less pressure.
More or less pressure. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of one we can switch out if we need to. And then higher and lower, that's physically on, let's say it was on her clit, you mean mm-hmm. higher up as in, you're going to demonstrate this obviously, so she'll know what to say.
Yeah, higher up towards her head and then lower right. towards her feet.
Okay, so just to kind of
she's on her back.
That. Right. Yeah. Okay, cool. So as far as, you know, I think that one thing that I could see maybe going wrong with this, because mm-hmm. I know it's not what you mean, that's why I want to ask, is maybe someone saying, you know, feeling like they're asking too many questions or breaking state whenever they're asking these questions. So what are some tips that you might have, or what are your kind of opinions on how to keep the environment the same while asking these questions?
That's a great question, because you do not want to engage her frontal cortex, the neocortex, the right. thinking part of her brain, because that keeps her out of orgasm. You want to mm-hmm. keep her in her primal part of her brain. So she can do signs. I have some couples who just do like they literally create like thumbs up, thumbs down mm-hmm. to keep her from having to talk. Mm-hmm. I just tell women to just go, I mean, that just keeps you in your primal brain because you're not forming words.
Right.
Also
keeps her mouth open too, which is nice.
Nice jaw opening. Mm-hmm. And I don't use a lot of words. I literally just go faster. Here's faster. Here's slower. Faster, slower. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't get into a whole bunch of like, okay, honey, now I'm going to do a script. here is what it feels like when I'm going fast on your clitoris. Right. Here's, you know, I like use as little words as humanly possible of faster, slower.
So are you saying that I could probably get rid of the marker board in my room?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't need to get up and give a presentation every time then.
Like, no.
Here's a drawing that I did earlier.
Looks like an elephant. Your clitoris.
It looks like an elephant, but it's your clitoris. I'm not very good at doing this. So great. So, okay. So that's a lot simpler than I thought it was going to be for talking.
Yeah.
Right. I thought it was going to be a lot more of like, you know, I think a lot of guys, they hear that talk is all about talking dirty or, you know, asking, you know, basically dominant talking, which I know
that stuff is great too.
Yeah. It's another aspect to it, you know? Yeah. But that's not really what you're saying is as important, mm-hmm. When it comes to making her come.
Right. It's about finding what her turn on is. You know, right. about finding the technique, and it ties into touch and timing. But I am all for erotic trance talk. I mean, like really getting into erotic hypnosis and using basically, I mean, if you're going to go that route, you can go to, you literally tell her what you're doing. I'm touching your clitoris. Mm-hmm. Hard and fast, and you are going to come, and you are getting so wet. You like you tell her brain basically what's doing, because we don't know the difference between what's real and what's not. You know, if you're studying psychology, you know right. all this. Mm-hmm. You know, tell somebody to imagine biting into a lemon, and usually their mouth waters. It's the same idea,
right? Right. Don't think of a black cat. That's kind of the
right
the concept. Really, the major concept behind hypnosis in the first place,
right,
is that you can control someone's state basically by pretending that you already have control over it.
Yep.
I think that a major fear for me in the past getting into this, and really beginning to practice this sort of NLP in the bedroom, which is the mm-hmm. only time I ever use it. I used to use it in normal conversation when I first heard about it and I started trying to figure out whether or not it was real.
Uh-huh.
And it worked, so well, I had to stop. You know what I mean? I mean, just to be honest, so I stopped altogether. I haven't done it since. And I won't, because I think that a lot of people, it's not really fair to a lot of people.
Right. There's an ethics behind it. So I always say, you know, if you're going to use this in the bedroom, make sure it's okay. You know, right. that's kind of like a check-in and right. that they know you're going to use it. I do it all the time with my partners. Like, it doesn't matter if I know that he's using NLP in the bedroom.
It's it still works.
It still works.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's kind of the fear behind it, I think, too. That's such a powerful tool in that we can – we can literally say something and it's not as if they're giving their consent anymore.
Right.
And that's really scary, I think, for a lot of people. Well, if it's not scary for you, then, and you're not nervous around it in the first place, and you've either already mastered this and you understand it, or it means you don't have a healthy outlook on it, really.
Right.
Because
right.
it really is a lot of responsibility.
Yep.
So
we can go, you know, if you tie it back into timing too, that there's when you're getting into the mood, when you're getting mm-hmm. into sex, and a lot of people think this stuff kills the hotness. And I don't agree at all, because I feel like if I have a good, clear boundary container, I feel safe. And then I can play like wild. I mean, there were studies done on children and on playgrounds, and when they had no fence, they played all huddled in the middle. When there was a fence, they play all the way out to the edges.
Right.
So, you know, we want to be able to play all the way out to our edges. So a talk piece can also be, you know, what are your boundaries? What do you feel okay with us exploring during this erotic time together? And, you know, I like to say, okay, like, well, today I feel really great about XYZ, but no anal penetration, you know?
Right, yeah.
And then I know, like, okay, we're not going to go there, and I can play really close to that edge, but mm-hmm. I know we're not going to go there. And then I think a great question to ask too is like, okay, if we're in the heat of the moment and all of a sudden you're like, no, yeah, now I want anal penetration, do you want me to hold you to your boundary? And I love that question because I find that a lot of couples, they get in the heat of the moment, they go over that boundary, and then there's something that doesn't feel quite right.
Right. There's no trust anymore all of a sudden.
Yep. Yep. And it's hard to get trust back once you've broken it.
Right. But yeah, I totally understand that. Actually, something that might be interesting to you, though I don't want to keep talking, I want to ask you more questions because you're definitely the person that I want to talk to here, that I want to hear the information from. But something that you might be interested in is that there have been a lot of studies in rapport, because rapport is basically the reason why we talk in the first place. Mm-hmm. We want to transfer emotion from one person to another. It's the whole point of communication. One thing that I've found, so this is something that I've come across, is that rapport can't really be deleted. It can, if it takes, let's say you create rapport for a year with mm-hmm. someone, it usually takes at least half the time you've spent creating it to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what will happen, though, very quickly, so you can actually have a lot of rapport with somebody and it could shift very quickly, but it doesn't go away. And what it does is it shifts from positive association rapport to negative.
Mm.
And it can go back and forth. Typically, it doesn't go back from negative to positive very easily.
Right.
But whenever you do that, that's why some of your worst enemies are friends that you used to have that were really close.
Mm-hmm.
Because you build a lot of rapport with them, a lot of trust. And then they break your trust and you have all this investment into them as a person. And then now you have a negative association with all this investment, which is how you make worse enemies, you know. And that can happen in the bedroom. It can happen anywhere with your lovers, especially.
Yep.
So it's very important. And, you know, we're not getting into kink in this one. So I don't, you know, I don't think that it's really that pertinent of a topic, but it's still really important, I think, for, you know, knowing that you're going into a place that is not not something that you have ever experienced before, and very likely that your partner's ever experienced before either,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that level of extra rapport is really important.
Yes.
Another thing though, that I really wanted to chat about, that kind of is tied into this, is that sort of in the trust factor, when you're actually going through, this process, I know that, as a man, if I can sense pretty quickly if the trust goes away in an environment mm-hmm. that's in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of it happens, what will end up happening is if the trust goes away, as men, I think our natural reaction is to try to chase it to make it come back.
Yep. Just like the orgasm.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's really what I want to talk about is like, if we start to feel like we're losing control, what do we do? I know that you said earlier, no chasing an orgasm, like you're talking about earlier, you know, what do we do instead that is, maybe counterintuitive?
Stillness. Yeah. I just go back to bony holds. Bony holds, what I mean by that are like big bones on her body.
Right.
You can just put your hands on her hip bones, your hands on her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like those things say like, I'm safe.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling her like, I've got you. Mm-hmm. You know, a hand on her shoulders, a hand on her hip bones, a hand on her sacrum that actually down-regulates the nervous system. I'm not just like spouting stuff here. It's like this I'm not making it up. it helps to calm her nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
It all of a sudden brings her out of a fight and flight, out of like, I'm scared, I can't trust you, I'm not safe, mm-hmm. down to like, oh my gosh, I'm grounded, I'm safe, you're here for me, I can trust you.
Right. Okay. So whenever we get to the point where it might feel like we are actually chasing an orgasm, let's mm-hmm. say that, you know, I'm in the middle of sex and I notice that that's happening. I think that most guys can tell pretty quickly if they are chasing an orgasm because mm-hmm. it's frustrating, you know?
Right.
That's the first thing you're probably going to feel is like, is she going to come or not? Right.
Right.
Like, and if you start thinking that thought process,
she's not going to come, guys.
She's not. The answer is no. That's for having that question. The answer is no. So then that means then as soon as you hear that, if you want the answer to be yes, then it's all about grounding her, taking her down, and we can't be afraid to start over essentially.
It's true. It's so true. That's so true. I can't, you know, like, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Take her back down to stillness. Start all over again. It's fun. Like, don't see it as like, oh, this is a chore or she's broken. Something's wrong with her. I've had so many women in my female workshops that come to me and they're like, yeah, my boyfriend told me that something's wrong with me because I take so long to come. No, she's not broken. We have to stop that mm-hmm. because it just takes women a little bit longer. And oftentimes, you know, if your mind's chasing and your mind's thinking like, oh God, she takes so long to come. Well, yeah, then she's going to take so long to come. Your presence is, and your attention to her comes across through your hands. So if you're thinking like, God, she's taking so long to come, that tension comes out in your fingers, in your penis, in your body, you know?
Right. We start to do things that make it seem like we're in a hurry.
Yep.
You know, I think that what a lot of guys do, and what I started out doing whenever I first started having sex, which I didn't lose my virginity until I was 18, which is actually a lot younger than some guys I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then again, you know, a lot older than a lot of the sexually free people that I know as mm-hmm. well. I think that what we assume is that women are the exact same way that we are as men.
Right.
And that, you know, the faster the better,
right.
typically speaking.
Right.
The harder the better. And then, you know, if we want to reach orgasm, we have to do it, generally speaking, we want to go like ramp up. And then at the peak of going as fast as possible, that's when we come
right.
as men. Typically, you know, of course, there are lots of examples to the contrary to that. Once you start to understand your body a lot
right.
more.
And guys, take yourself through a pleasure wave. Believe me, your orgasm will be so much better and you'll start lasting longer in bed.
Yeah, lasting longer in bed. It's funny because as a man, like thinking that I'm going to feel better, having an orgasm feel better, that doesn't even matter to me. It's like, it's because, like, you know, I mean, I've reaching a place of ecstasy, having an orgasm. You know, I studied Tantra because I did, I say Tantra from Shaolin, actually. And it wasn't about sex. Sex was an afterthought to it.
Right.
It was more about body control.
Right.
And recycling, what at the time was recycling chi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I got into that, it was kind of my first new exposure to the idea that I didn't have to just go all out, you know?
Right.
But I still feel that visceral desire. Mm-hmm. At times. So, and if anyone who's listening to this now is anything like me, then you're probably going to have that same kind of natural response to want to go faster and, you know, things like that. So, so I guess that where I'm kind of going with this now is that it seems like the theme here is that, you know, all the things that seem sensual, and feminine, we have to embrace in the bedroom as men,
mm-hmm.
you know, going slower, being open, taking a couple steps back, you know, being willing to start over and build it back up again and enjoy the process, you know,
mm-hmm.
that sort of stillness of barely moving, and just being in the moment and present with the person that we're with. All seem to be like very extremely feminine concepts, when it comes to gender roles, you know? One more thing that I really wanted to talk about that kind of, you know, again, we'll kind of segue off of this that I know that, that everybody that I know asked about this because this is what we typically think of when we think giving a girl an orgasm. We don't usually think of, you know, using our hands as men. And we typically don't think about, you know, having actual penetrative sex. What we usually think about is oral.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it is that there's that association. Maybe it's because, you know, we've been trained by porn.
Mm-hmm.
to think that is the only way or maybe the best way. I have no idea, but it definitely is, a very, very, very important part of this process. And some guys may not like to do it, because they're not very good at it. And that I think is going to really limit them.
Right.
And so what I really want to do now is kind of go into, a little bit about how, you know, your thoughts on oral,
mm-hmm.
specifically on cunnilingus or eating a girl mm-hmm. out. Right. And, I know that there are a lot of guys who, you know, let's say that there's a guy who's having kind of random sex with random girls. You know, besides the fact that each vagina you see is like a Rubik's cube. I mean, it's not like it's very easy. It's not the same thing every time, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's different every single time. Besides that, that's going to be different for them too. But I think a lot of guys will have this sort of, you know, not really sure if they want to go down on a girl because, you know, it could be a terrible experience, you know?
Right.
So what could, you know, first off, I'd like to hear you speak to that a little bit and
sure.
and see what your opinion is on that. And then second, I'd like to know if you have like a 1-2 punch that, you know, a couple pieces of advice, kind of like you were giving so far, where you're kind of giving technique in there, but you also are getting big picture stuff, about, oral sex that you think will take anyone from where they are now, regardless of their skill level, and level them up once.
So this is my favorite topic right now. I just finished writing a book on it, and I have a DVD series out on it. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about.
Right.
And, you know, I love oral sex. I think, you know, one of the big rules of thumb is I love taking a nice bath or doing warm towels, something to make her feel more clean. You know, I think women are worried about taste and smell. And I get a lot of guys who write to me who say, I don't like the taste and smell. What do I do? So, you know, doing like a sensual bath beforehand, or doing some kind of, like, I keep warm towels in like a crock pot. I have like a little hot cabbie in my bedroom. And so I have hot towels in there, you know, and I love to like just put the hot towels over her vulva and have that, you know, like a little, like she's clean, and it helps with the smell. Flavored lubricants, while most of them have really nasty ingredients, there is a lube coming out by Aloe Cadabra. They're my favorite because they're all natural. They're not going to have anything in it that's going to cause any infections or anything. They're coming out with a pina colada that is yum, yum, yum. So, you know, if you're worried about taste, or, I mean, you just like, I carry that stuff around with me.
That's so funny that it's so funny that it's pina colada, because it's like, it might as well be dirty martini. Like, you know, if it was a guy drink, it'd be like Budweiser flavored, you know, lubricant. Here you go. Like, have some Budweiser.
So, you know, I really like that. You could also use dental dams, you know, if you're worried about it tasting bad or smelling bad, to just, you know, use a dental dam. And a lot of people are like, what are dental dams? They're just like a latex cover that you pull over, and you can put a little lube on the end that you're going to put against her vulva, and then you lick over it. And it's great. I mean, I've had lots of oral with dental dams, and I think it feels really good. It's a different sensation, but I really think it feels good. As far as like techniques go, hand and mouth combinations, I go back to touch. Maybe we should call this another T, because of tongue.
There we go.
So we have four T's. So we have, the tongue mixed with touch, and I always go for doing the A spot, which is having one finger internally deeper. I talked about that, curled up towards the roof of her vagina, and then one finger on the G spot. You're doing the anchor and pull towards you while you are sucking the clit inside your mouth, suck the clitoral shaft inside your mouth, and then you're going to flick the tip of your tongue over the head of her clitoris. So a lot of people don't know that the clit has a head, it has a shaft, and it has two legs that go internally. So, you know, there's a lot to stimulate in the clitoris. And so by having the fingers inside on the roof of the vagina, and then having the mouth on the clit, you're stimulating a whole bunch of her hot spots all at once. And I think, you know, that's just great. And then same thing, you can do the pleasure wave, just like we did with touch. You can do that all with oral, where you're kissing all over her body first. You know, you're warming her up. You're teasing, you know, externally, you're rolling her labia between your lips, rolling her clit between your lips. You're doing long, luscious licks from the bottom of her, the bottom of her pelvic floor, the perineum, up across her vaginal opening to the clitoris, up to the mons, you know, like licking all the way up, long, flat tongue. That's really yummy. That's a good safety one. You can do stillness with your tongue, where you just like flatten your tongue and hold it there. While you look up into her eyes, you know, like, I'm about to do something. And that anticipation is so good. hot breath. I can throw in so many techniques. I have gazillions of them.
Well, I don't want to get all of them, because I know that you have lots of you've got a video training series on this.
Yes.
I know that we're never going to be able to get the kind of knowledge that we can get from an audio interview, that we could obviously get from watching you instruct and go through this process. I'll have a link. There's a link underneath this interview that if you're listening now, you want to click on that link. There's a sample video that Jaya's tossed up for you to check it out. You can watch it and get a sense about what's in that that volume one of Oral Sex for Couples. Now, when I say Oral Sex for Couples, I want you to know that it's just something that you can use on any woman you meet. It isn't as if you need to be in a relationship in order to use this, obviously. We do have a copy of this, by the way, and I'm in a relationship, so I guess that speaks for me, but you know, you can use it with anybody. You can, you know, if you just meet a random girl, she'll be very, very happy that you know these techniques she's going to be teaching. So if you do want to, go ahead and click on that, that button or link below this interview. But in the meantime, let's continue with maybe a couple more techniques. And then I think that we'll probably be do a quick recap. Anything else you want to say, and any other technique you think that everyone needs to know? I mean, I think that we should hear it. But besides that, let's see what you got.
Well, here's a new one. And I only recommend doing this when the woman is fully, fully aroused, like after maybe she's had a clitoral orgasm and you've done some penetration. And, you know, this is a big thing. Like, don't be afraid. Like, if you've done penis and vagina penetration, like, you can stop that and go back to using your hands or using your mouth. Like, it's not like sex is just like, okay, first I'm going to touch your boobs, then I'm going to, you know, then I'll go down on you for a little bit, then I'll put my penis in your vagina, and then I'll come, or we're going to come, and then sex is done. No, it's like you can kind of like move around that. So it's just like the pleasure wave, like, okay, penis in the vagina, now I'm going to come out and maybe do a little bit of oral, or I'm going to do a little hand, you know, work. So so just know that you can keep, you know, riding on that wave. So this technique I think is great after you've had a little penis, you know, stimulation inside. So after you've done a little intercourse, but one finger, you're going to put your hands on top of each other with your palm, one palm facing down and one palm facing up. You're going to insert both of your index fingers. So one index finger is facing down and one index finger is facing up.
Okay.
And now you're going to come hither your fingers so that one finger is massaging the bottom of the vaginal floor. So I call this sanding the floor. And the other is doing the G spot. So you're getting the PS spot, the perineal sponge, which is located between the vaginal wall and the anal wall. And you're stimulating the G spot. A lot of women, and this is a completely overlooked spot, are orgasmic in the floor of their vagina. It's like, it's like there's a whole other G spot down there. An unexplored G spot. So you're hitting both the floor and the top, and then you're going to go down with your mouth. So then you put your mouth on clitoris duty, your tongue in your mouth and your head on clitoris duty while you're come hithering inside.
Okay. So this is something that, again, we're not going to be even getting to this stage at all until sort of the higher arousal section.
Yes.
You know, of this process. So keep this in mind. It isn't like, you know, I want to just reiterate that because I think that's probably the most important thing you've said so far.
Yeah, this is not the technique to do right at the beginning.
Right.
Exactly. It's like after 30, 40 minutes.
Right. Okay. So, this is fantastic. I feel like this is, man, I wish I could take more notes on this. I mean, I love this very, very much. This is great. Yay. So we've gotten lots of techniques, for not just oral, but, you know, basically any kind of technique. You've gone over all sorts of techniques for every single stage we could go through, whether it's, stillness techniques, light arousal techniques, level two arousal techniques, and then higher arousal techniques. I think that most guys, I think the biggest thing you've said, in my opinion, that's most important is that higher arousal, which is where most guys typically start, or, you know, level two arousal is where they start typically, is the one of the last stages as far as the ladder goes. You know, it's not the last one you end on, but it is one of the last stages that one of the top stages. You don't start there. You start way down at the bottom and then enjoy the entire journey all the way up and then take her back and bring her back up again.
Right.
When it comes to multiple orgasms, is that just going from higher arousal, reaching orgasm, coming back down into one of the lower stages and then building it back up again? Is that more of like what we get into when we talk about multiple orgasms?
Yes, and full body orgasms, because you're paying attention to her whole body, not just her genitals. And there's so many different kinds of orgasms. Like, we didn't even touch on that, but I mean, women have, there's at least 10 that I can count off the top of my head that women can have as far as different kinds. We usually are always going for like the clitoral, the vaginal orgasm, but boy, let me tell you, there's so much possibility.
Guys do too. And most women don't know about the sports orgasm. It's where, you know, someone scores a goal and we have an orgasm. Like, you know, that's how complicated we are.
You know, but it's true. When your favorite team is winning, you produce a whole bunch of oxytocin.
Right.
Like, a lot of people don't know that, but yeah.
That's true. That's probably what makes us so loyal, in fact, to certain teams. But I'm a soccer guy, so I just go for countries typically. But anyway, Jaya, I just can't thank you enough for this. This has been so enlightening. And thank you very much for coming and taking the time to do this. Guys, if you do want to learn how to make your cum, giving your cunnilingus or eating a girl out and really make, you know, just having her writhe, and have it be the best head she's ever gotten, in bed, then check out Jaya's program. She's got a phenomenal program on this called Oral Sex for Couples Volume 1. And if you want to continue from there, you can. If you want to check out the free sort of sample video that you can see what that's like and see sort of Jaya go through the process of explaining all this, then you can go ahead and click on the link below, and that'll take you straight there, and you should be able to check that out. Jaya, thank you so much. It's been an honor to have you on.
Thank you. It's been awesome to be here.
Yeah.
Love talking about this stuff.
Obviously, it comes across, and it's really rare, I think, and I've been searching for a while to find somebody who is as intelligent as you are in this topic, so really happy to finally find you.
Yay.
All right, cool. I'll talk to you later on, Jaya. Thank you so much again.
All right.
And we'll ping you if we need anything else.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.